Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian, my co-host, as usual, Brian Johnson.
Good day, Church.
Good to talk to you as well. It's another edition centered around rookies as the draft gets a little bit closer. Last week, we did quarterbacks. We encourage people to go back and listen to that one if you missed it. As we break down players at a position leading up to the draft. And then three weeks from now, we'll be talking about the first round as we record on Fridays. That'll be fun.
Would you call this a shallow running back class?
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to talk about 10 guys who I think all have a chance to make an impact. I mean, all 10 of these, I think, have pro-level abilities to some degree. My 10th, you know, the 10th guy, I've got guy number 10.
Yeah.
Not as crazy about him. But I think the other nine could have an impact in the right situations.
I do too. So getting a lot of hate overall.
I think there's a
Saquon Barkley.
Or an Ezekiel Elliott at the top of the first round to make people whoa.
Right.
But there's still some really good running backs in this class, and we're going to break them down. I want to start with this though. I think there's still four ideal landing spots where any of these rookies could just walk in and become a workhorse back.
Right.
Miami.
Yeah.
Now, you and I like Myles Gaskin, but I think if, you know, the right guy falls there, you know, I think he gets pushed to the background.
I'm holding my breath as a guy who's rostering Myles Gaskin in hopes of leading me to the second year in a row in our Empire League so I can dig down the whole pot. So I've survived free agency.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm going to be holding my breath on draft night.
Exactly.
Don't draft a running back, yeah. Miami. But yes, that's a great spot, like you said.
The Jets, LaMichael P. Ryan is not going to be a starter. I don't believe somebody could walk in and take that job. Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, Benny Snell is the only guy, basically, and Anthony McFarland, the only guys on roster, and unless they really show something different than they had last year, that's a spot. And then, you know, Atlanta did sign Mike Davis, but I just think Mike Davis ideally is not the lead back.
Probably not.
So those are the four that I feel like somebody could just walk in and be a workhorse. Then there's a bunch of spots where somebody could walk in and be like a change of pace back, a regularly used number two back. Cincinnati, they cut Giovanni Bernard, so I think somebody could walk into that spot. Jacksonville needs somebody behind James Robinson. Denver signed Mike Boone, but they need somebody behind Melvin Gordon. I think Mike Boone can be a number two back. Kansas City, I think Darrell Williams is totally ordinary.
Yeah.
So I think that's a candidate. The Giants cut Wayne Gallman, so they need somebody behind.
Yeah, they signed Devontae Booker, but
Philadelphia behind Miles Sanders. I don't think Boston Scott is big enough to carry even as like a change of pace load.
They're bringing back Jordan Howard. Did you hear about that, though?
Whatever. Carolina behind Christian McCaffrey, in part because Mike Davis is gone. And then, you know, Arizona's really just got Chase Edmonds right now.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody needs to walk into that. And then San Francisco, where they're always rotation of backs. And they always need somebody healthy. And I think they've got to be frustrated with all the injuries to Raheem Mostert and, you know, Wilson and all, you know, that's been a frustrating situation. So I think those are all teams that are in play here.
Agreed.
All right, so let's start with this. From a purely fantasy perspective, the guy that is going first in rookie drafts that are being held now is Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Tell us about him and what makes him as a prime candidate for a strong fantasy season.
Yeah, most likely the first running back to go on NFL draft night two, or maybe day two, for all we know. But Najee Harris out of Alabama. Right now in best ball leagues, he's going around in like the ninth round, mid to late ninth round, which seems
like a
bargain.
Yeah, no kidding.
We don't know where he's playing as of right now, of course, but great size, 6'2", 230, absolute bruiser. But that's not the only ace up his sleeve, the only trick in his bag. He's got a whole bag of tricks.
Including good hands.
Yeah, great hands as a receiver. Did you hear how he told Todd McShay recently to kiss his ass? Not indirectly, but he was getting interviewed and someone told him how
Todd McShay said he improved as a receiver. Najee Harris said, Todd McShay can kiss my ass.
And, I like that. He's got a lot to
it. But like McShay didn't say he was, he could have said he's really good and he got even better.
Right.
But
right.
He's got a chip on his shoulder already, which I really like. But the most rushing touchdowns in college football last year, 26 rushing touchdowns in 13 games.
And that don't you think that's the thing that fantasy owners are really highlighting mm-hmm. with Harris is he is a goal line back for sure.
He is. But like you said, though, he can catch the ball. He was third in target share among running backs in this year's draft class last year. So he's got bell cow potential written all over him. Now, when it comes to dynasty, he is sort of old, quote-unquote old.
Right. It's, yeah, little
just turned
there.
23 in March. But he's the most complete back in this class. And, right now, if I'm doing a best ball draft or even a redraft league, I'm getting him in the ninth round. I don't care if he goes to the Jets, which is probably the least ideal landing spot. But, Najee Harris, going to be the first running back taken in most fantasy drafts and most likely in the reality draft.
Yeah, depending on where he lands. Right. Yep, and which is a huge X factor for all these guys. If you go into the wrong spot and you're going to be, you know, in a workhorse situation like A.J. Dillon last week, that really would change, or last year, that would change things a lot. Now, the guy, I think, can potentially outperform Harris from a fantasy standpoint is one of the two University of North Carolina runners, mm-hmm. and the first is Javonte Williams, who's set up much more like Harris. Javonte Williams is a brutally hard-running, violent, attacking back who welcomes contact and leaves defenders battered for having insulted him by trying to tackle Javonte Williams. He's got remarkable balance. So you have these big contact moments where Williams lowers his shoulder, but he just powers through. I mean, he's just the balance is unfazed by the hits that he takes and doles out. And then he just keeps going. He's got remarkable burst and acceleration for a full bodied runner. And he is a bigger back. He's not gigantic. He's not a bowling ball. He led all of college football in broken tackles last year per Pro Football Focus. 75 broken tackles last year. You know, he only played seven games. I mean, you know, he's breaking 10 tackles a game. It's crazy. And just ideal size for a power running back. He's well built and he's strong, but he's not overly huge, which is, I just think, perfect. And there's so much to like about Javonte Williams. Now, the only knacks on him, he only performed at this level last year. And he can catch, but he's not a natural, you know, ball catching back. Mm-hmm. And I think his top end speed is just okay. He's better with the short burst and acceleration. When he gets into the open field, he's not necessarily just going to run away from a cornerback or a safety. And still, Javonte Williams will get goal line carries. And Brian, I think, ideally suited for fantasy play. And if he falls into the right spot, he could be the first overall running back taken in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, talk about a discount right now in best ball. He's RB26 right now, going a couple rounds after Najee Harris, after Melvin Gordon right now. Who would you rather have right now?
I know.
If you're drafting Melvin Gordon or
Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams,
right.
Yeah, Williams all day.
I agree with that. Let's go to our next running back, Travis Etienne. And for Travis, he was a highly publicized, well-known commodity coming out of Clemson, and boy, the speed.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
He's probably not the fastest running back when it comes to pure speed in the draft, but at 4.4 in the 40, he's
pretty
very
close.
Fast. Pretty close. And most people thought he was going to turn pro last year, but he came back for his senior season at Clemson, where he set the it was over the course of his career, but he's the NCAA's all-time leader now in total games with a touchdown for skilled players.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's got pretty good size, too, 5'10", 215. He's not a house, but he's not undersized by any means. And like you said, great speed. Career 7.2 yards per carry, an excellent receiver, pretty much the whole package. Mm-hmm. There are some concerns around his pass protection, but we hear that about plenty of
most
running backs,
most rookies,
even rookies or even seasoned vets. So Etienne with Najee Harris and Javonte Williams, they're kind of in that top three tier. And Javonte Williams, or you really could pick any one of these guys first overall among rookies. Etienne's actually going a little earlier than Williams and right after Najee Harris. But like we said, they're lumped right there together, and they can all immediately produce this year in the right spot, and their future outlook in Dynasty is very, very bright.
ETN's just the acceleration and the burst. It's track star level stuff, Brian. And, you know, you where I think he's not as great is moving laterally is not his strong suit. He's more of a track star, you know, straightforward runner, north-south runner. But he's going to be good everywhere, and just he's got some special traits that suggest he's going to break a lot of big plays in the NFL.
Yeah, I meant to throw in most yards after contact over the last two seasons in college football. ETN was second.
That's amazing.
And I won't mention who was first. He's going to be a bonus guy at the very end. It's someone you're not going to expect.
Okay.
I'm very intrigued by this guy, by the way. But anyway, we'll get to him later.
Now, I was just earlier talking about Javonte Williams from University of North Carolina. They have another running back who's fascinating. And this is not a case where North Carolina had, like, the big bruising back that Javonte Williams is and then the scat back. No, they had two pretty well put together, solidly built backs. Michael Carter being the second of those. Now he's short. He's 5'8". He's 200 pounds. But at 5'8", 200, that 200 isn't spread across like a guy who's 5'11". So he's still actually pretty well built, despite being on the shorter side. Michael Carter is still a tad lightweight for the position, but he is so shifty. And the amazing footwork that he's got. He's got a hip swivel that unlocks just this crazy elusiveness, and he's very hard to get a clean shot on Michael Carter. He's got a compact running style with short strides and a remarkable jump cut that I think gets released by that compact running style. Great in traffic. And when things are really hairy, he's got this great vision. He picks his spots. He changes his direction. He makes his jump cut. And he comes out of this pack of defenders. You know, how did that even happen? Great top-end speed. He will run away from other players. And he catches really well. North Carolina would throw downfield to Michael Carter. And I don't mean like 5 yards in the flat. I mean 25 yards downfield they're throwing to Michael Carter. And worst case to me about Michael Carter is he is a Tariq Cohen. Yeah. And I think that's a fair NFL comparison, but his best case is that he gets a lot more running work than Cohen has ever gotten and ends up being a better, and I think he's just a better pure runner than Cohen is. You know, now Carter's only really produced at a high level 1 year last year, and same with Javonte Williams from UNC. And he's a senior here, but I still think he's got some really special traits, and I love what he could do for PPR leagues. And Michael Carter is a guy that's going, you know, really late in drafts, and I think has the potential, again, to be a PPR stalwart.
Nice.
Michael Carter. Let's go to the poorly named Chuba Hubbard. Now, yeah. He should have been Chuba Hubbard.
I know.
How do you not name, if you've got to the point where you got C-H-U-B-A, how do you not go C-H-U-B-B-A and let him be Chuba Hubbard? That'd be the coolest name ever.
You know why they fail? Because he's Canadian. They don't do it right when it comes to nomenclature up in Canada. But Canadian-born Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State, 6 feet, 210 pounds. Now, this is the track star, literally a former track star.
Mm-hmm.
Ran a 4.36 40 on his pro day, lightning fast, the fastest time clocked by a running back, probably by any player, I would imagine. Most yards after contact over the last two seasons, I just mentioned Travis Etienne was second. Chuba Hubbard was third. So great player. There are some concerns with him, not only in his pass protection, but also his pass catching abilities.
Mm.
He's not an elite receiver,
yeah,
maybe average at best. So there's some concerns with his bell cow potential there. And right now in fantasy, he's going off the board around RB5 in redraft in the mid-15th round. But
mm-hmm.
I don't like to put a whole lot of stock into mock drafts for the NFL, but I've been seeing him sliding recently,
yeah,
in favor of some other guys. So there are some concerns, like I said, with the pass protection, the pass catching, a little undersized. 6 feet is tall, and the 210 is a little light for a running back.
It is. It is.
Which is a little concerning, but he's blazing fast, and he probably is not a guy that's going to
tote ball 80% of the time for a team, but he can be a factor in a 1-2 punch. And if given significant touches, he has the potential to be a
breakaway speed. What worries me about Chuba Hubbard is that he runs upright like a track star, because he is a track star. And when you're 6 foot and you're running upright, you're giving defenders a lot of body to hit you with.
Yeah.
And he's not that physical of a guy. So I think he's going to absorb a lot of hits. And I don't know that he's a tackle breaking type of player.
A comp I've heard a lot, and you're going to hate this, but it'll be a blast from the past, is Tap Dancing Nancy, Chris Johnson.
Well, Chris Johnson had a pretty solid career.
He did, but he was a Tap Dancing Nancy.
He
peaked, and he certainly fell off a cliff pretty quick, but peaking at that 2,000-yard rushing season. But
that's one of my favorite FFW nicknames of all time, is the Tap Dancing Nancy, Chris Johnson. We'll take a break. When we come back, the other five running backs you need to know, fantasy relevant running backs that you need to know heading into the draft. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back. Paul Charchin and Brian Johnson with you, talking through the rookie running backs fantasy owners need to know, get familiar with. And the next one up is a guy I'm fascinated by, Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis. He was an opt-out from last year. Where he's really interesting is that he's going to be a jack-of-all-trades type guy. And a lot of times these guys don't end up panning out into anything if you don't have a position you're great at. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just don't get on the field. Lynn Bowden from last year, right, was a guy that was, hey, is he a running back or is he a receiver? We really don't know for sure. And that worries me a little bit about Kenneth Gainwell, that he could fall into that. But he's got some really special traits. And he's such a good receiver that I think he gets on the field and can be a PPR helper in the right spot. So he looks and runs like a track star, but he doesn't quite have track star top end speed, but he's another upright runner like Chuba Hubbard. He's got the burst of a track star, and he's got really good footwork and lateral movement, which you don't always get out of track star runners, who oftentimes are really very north-south oriented. Gainwell can go move laterally very well. He's got a nice one-cut move. But the big thing here is that he catches so well. And they line him up at wide receiver at Memphis. He has tons of game-breaking plays against, you know, suspect defenses that Memphis played. But a lot of people think he's just going to play the slot. He might end up being a slot receiver in the NFL.
Well, that's where Antonio Gibson went, if I'm not mistaken, to Memphis. And there was the same concerns with him coming out last year. It turned out just fine. Yeah. Well, so far,
so good for him. Only 3 drops on 60 targets last year, which is a pretty good rate for a running back. And so he's got the hands to be requisite of it. Just not sure where he's going to fit in that way. Again, I think he needs the right spot, and then he needs to get utilized. So Kenneth Gainwell's got upside in the right place, but he's got the downside of Lynn Bowden from last year. Let's go to our next runner, which is Jamar Jefferson.
And Jamar Jefferson out of Oregon State declared for the draft a year early. Will forego his senior season. One of the youngest running backs in this class, turns 21 next week. So that's great from a dynasty perspective. Mm-hmm. Like most, he only played in 6 games last year, but started out hot, 4 straight games, over 100 rushing yards. Finished with more rushing yards than he had his entire sophomore season, which was a full season. So he really produced last year in those 6 games for a really bad Oregon State team, by the way. Jefferson's no gain / loss run percentage.
Okay.
This is a stat that depicts the percentage of runs that are stopped at the line of scrimmage or for a loss.
Yeah.
Was 4th best among draft eligible running backs. So
that's pretty good.
He's great among the leaders in positive runs on his rush attempts. Some worry about his size. 5'10", 210 pounds, a little light.
He put on
5 more pounds, hopefully. But he's a pretty sound all-around back. Good vision, good lateral speed, can get to the edge quick. He has good burst, but some are concerned with his long speed in terms of someone's going to catch him from behind on a long run.
Okay.
But he's a very able receiver as well. He does have bell cow potential. I don't think he has the talent to go in and like usurp a starting NFL running back, but if given the opportunity, I think he can be a fine producer. And again, you hear this a lot, some concerns about his pass protection per Pro Football Focus. Jefferson ranked 87th in pass protection efficiency for running backs.
Okay.
But again, Oregon State's a really bad team. I don't care how good you are at pass protection as a running back. If the rest of the offensive line, you know, mm-hmm. letting everyone else get free run at your quarterback. So Jefferson is a guy that a little polarizing in the sense he's way down on some people's list, maybe like RB 12, 13. But right now he's going off RB 8 in best ball league. So a guy I'm keeping my eye on more than most, Jamar Jefferson.
Okay. My next running back is Kylin Hill from Mississippi State, currently projected to go in probably he'll be a day three guy, maybe the back end of day three. But that doesn't mean that that Kylin Hill can't play a role in the NFL. Now, he's a slimmer back, and for a slimmer back, he's got remarkable tackle breaking and even physical play abilities, and he has the explosiveness to be a factor in the NFL. Now, when I looked at his game, I'm like, you know, you're looking for these guys that are going to go round six, round seven. I'm trying to find, is there any one thing in their game that can keep them on the field? And it's the explosiveness for Kylin Hill, because he's got a lot of that. He's super creative when he gets to the second level. And you'll see these runs when you look through Kylin Hill's tape, where when he gets past the line of scrimmage and he's in that linebacker level, he's so fast and he's making people miss, and it's creating all kinds of chaos and confusion as he's changing and cutting, and players are running around just trying to find him. And he was really good at the next level. Now, he only played three games last year with Mississippi State, but he caught 23 passes in the three games. You know, if we're at eight catches a game, that's another special trait that tells me that Kylin Hill can get on the field. He's got a very good stiff arm move as well. There are parts of games that are not great. He gets moved laterally. He runs high, gives defenders a big target. There are things that I don't love about his game, but he's got some traits. Kylin Hill has traits that can get him on the field. And again, I think he's got some PPR upside to him as well. Let's go to our next running back, and that is Khalil Herbert.
Not to be confused with Justin Air Bear.
No, so this is no Air Bear.
He's a ground bear.
Correct.
Not necessarily built like a bear, not huge, around 210, but he is fast. Ran a 4.46 40 on his pro day out of Virginia Tech, by the way. I failed to mention that. Herbert, I was tempted to say Air Bear there. Herbert led the ACC in combo yards last year, and per Pro Football Focus, he was second only behind Najee Harris in yards after contact on rushes among draft-eligible running backs.
Okay.
So that's very impressive. That being said, Virginia Tech had a very dominant offensive line, and there's some concern that contributed to a good portion of Herbert's success. But he looks really good on tape, great vision, great footwork. Only had 34 receptions in 5 years in college. I believe he was at Kansas for 4 years, and then he was eligible to play at Virginia Tech last year, fifth year. He was never the guy at Kansas, so kind of a late bloomer, which...
I'd be worried. How old is Khalil
Herbert? He's probably 23.
Yeah, right.
Turning 24 soon. Yeah. So his breakout age is pretty late, if you want to call it a breakout, running behind a very good offensive line. But he, again, not undersized, but he doesn't have the size and durability to be a bell cow probably. But if given the opportunity, 15, 20 touches a game in a good scheme, he's a very good schematic runner, basically.
Yeah.
Great vision, great footwork. So in a good spot, he can thrive like he did at Virginia Tech. Of course, the NFL is a whole nother level, but Khalil Herbert, keep your eye on him.
All right, for our final guy, I'm actually going to make it two guys, both in the Big Ten, who I don't like, that I don't think are going to help, that will get drafted, but I don't think are going to help fantasy players. That is Ohio State's Trey Sermon and then Michigan's Chris Evans. I don't like either one of these at the NFL level, and I'll tell you why. First, for Trey Sermon, I did not see any special traits, particularly special traits for him. He's not fast. He's a bit tall for the running back position and gives the defenders a big target to hit. He ran behind it. You know, these amazing offensive lines, first at Oklahoma, and then he transferred to Ohio State, and these offensive lines opened up big holes for him. I think his athleticism is just average. He was rarely used in the passing game. To me, Trey Sermon feels like an NFL backup. He's a third or fourth back in the NFL, and I just didn't see any special traits watching him that make me feel like he's going to contribute. And then Michigan's Chris Evans, who a lot of people think could be drafted as early as like round four or five, I didn't see a lot here that I loved either. He is a three-down back with solid hands, and I think that's why he'll get drafted and why he'll end up being in the NFL. He's got a little wiggle, but I just didn't see any remarkable traits with him. Lackluster speed, ran behind a very good offensive line again, a lot like Trey Sermon. He got suspended due to academic reasons for the 2019 season, recorded only 16 carries over the past 2 years. That's also a big red flag. He's going to be 24 years old as a rookie. And there's some running backs that are already on the downside of their career at 24 and never really improved after his very good rookie year, Chris Evans did. And your hope as a rookie, your kid's going to get better, sophomore, junior. Right. We really didn't see that. I see what looks to me like a backup who's in the NFL for a couple of years from Chris Evans.
Let me throw one more guy out there really quick.
There's a guy, I don't know who you're going to throw out right now. I hope it is Ramondre Stevenson.
No, it's
Darn
not
it.
Him. And I was going to say him, Stevenson.
And Elijah
Mitchell, another guy, a bubble guy, we can call him, mm-hmm. but we're not going to. I want to talk about Jarrett Patterson. Now,
I don't know anything about Jarrett Patterson.
I referenced the most yards after contact over the last two seasons stat a couple times.
Where did he play?
Patterson out of Buffalo.
Okay.
Led this category ahead of Travis Etienne, Chuba Hubbard, and Breece Hall. Jarrett Patterson, though, is 5'7", 190 pounds. He's like Darren Sproulsian. But in just six games last year, he had over 1,000 yards and 19 touchdowns.
Wow.
He had 8 touchdowns and 400 yards in one game.
Wow.
I don't know. He's small, right? But he's an intriguing name that I'm just keeping my eye on, Jarrett Patterson. People are concerned about the size, but put on a little more weight. At 5'7", that's a tough guy to tackle at times if he's got moves. And the most yards after contact in college football over the last two seasons, and I know he played at Buffalo. That's not a Power Five school.
Neither was Toledo.
Right.
And, you know,
so
there are a lot of runners who've come out of mid tier schools that end up being pretty darn good.
Now our own Matt Harrison, and for those who don't know, it's Matt with one T. He should be a big fan of Jarrett Patterson
because he's a Jarrett one T.
with one R and one T.
Oh wow,
Jarrett. Right to the point with Jarrett.
So Ramondre Stevenson from Oklahoma, dude is just big, built for goal line use, an absolute tank. He cuts hard. He breaks tackles. He's a violent runner. And a lot of people think he's not even going to get drafted in the NFL. And I'm looking at him going, that guy he's got some of the special traits that I'm trying to look for, mm-hmm. the guys that could translate to the NFL. And just the power running alone should put him on rosters. And I'm really intrigued by him.
He's a name I've seen some guys pretty high on, mm-hmm. you know, around running back 7-8, and others he's running back 13-14, right. 15. So right. yeah, he's a polarizing prospect for sure. I'm leaning on your side more.
Ramondre Stevenson. I'm very interested to see what where he lands and what role he could have. All right, thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. Next week, wide receivers. We'll break down receivers and the rookie receivers in particular. And it's Chase and Waddle and Smith and Rashad Bateman and Rondell Moore. I mean, it's a ton. There could be six receivers taken in the first round again. You know, last year was so deep at receiver, and here we are a year later, and it's almost as deep.
You think one will go before Kyle Pitts?
No, I don't. And they shouldn't. And then Kyle Pitts will be in 2 weeks. We'll talk about the tight end position.
I'd have to look it up, but this wouldn't be the first time a tight end was selected before any wide receiver. I don't Ooh. Think. Vernon Davis went very early on when he was
Jeremy
drafted.
Shockey went early.
He did too.
Yep. We'd have to.
I'll look into that for next week.
Probably not very often, but that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Or at least 2 weeks from now when we do the rookie tight ends. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.